2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
I've seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Welcome on in. This is the KSL Greenhouse. I'm Ethan Millard. I'm filling in for Maria Chaleos. I've got Tom Bettis with me, of course, as always. Ton is the USU Extension horticulturalist and an invaluable asset to this entire community. Of course, and you know this, if you listen to the Greenhouse Show, you know that Ton's on point every single Saturday morning. So we've already covered a lot of helpful stuff. And for a couple of minutes here as we start out our last hour of the show, let's chat, Ton, just for a couple of minutes about our lawns, because we're going to have... Our lawns are going to face some problems, right? We're going to have some problems keeping the lawns healthy, keeping the lawns green, but also respecting the fact that we're in a drought and we're starting to get some pressure already this early in the season from community leaders, you know, over this
really
over the water.
You know, Pine View Reservoir up in the Ogden area, their managers announced that it will probably run out of water by August if water use isn't slowed down. Lehigh City... There's been others out there that have been announcing, and it really, I have to walk a fine line when I'm telling people how to water their lawns, knowing that we're in drought. I'm very aware of that.
Yeah.
And so right now, a lot of the conservancy districts and canal companies and things, slowtheflow.org and different areas are saying right now you should probably be watering your lawn about twice a week.
Okay.
And you want that water to penetrate about 6 inches to maybe a foot into the soil.
Okay.
What will happen if you only water twice a week, but you water deeply, the grass roots will grow deeper searching for the water and will become more drought tolerant, but it also becomes healthier because it can better fend off insect pests and diseases. You know, only watering twice a week, but deeply, will also make it so that there's not as much humidity within the crowns and the thatch area, and it actually reduces the number of diseases that your lawn is susceptible to.
So if I'm looking for 6 inches of water penetration and I've got sandy soil, about how long does it take for the water to get down? Or is that kind of dependent on the sprinklers primarily?
Well, in your sandy soil, you have a unique situation because about 90% of the Wasatch Front doesn't. But what you would actually do is water to a depth of 6 inches three times a week or maybe four, because you're not using as much water to penetrate that deeply.
Okay.
And the soil doesn't hold as much water just because it's sandy. So in your situation, watering for maybe 20 minutes and then shutting the sprinklers off for a couple hours, and then just go out with a screwdriver and see how deeply it penetrates into the soil in several areas. And you can see how deep that water's going. But in sandy soils, you actually water for a shorter period of time more often, because if you keep watering, you're actually wasting water because it penetrates the soil so quickly.
Okay. Yeah, I see. That makes sense. So for more traditional Wasatch Front soils, though, you start... twice a week.
Start with twice a week, and you want that water to penetrate 6 inches to a foot. You may need to kick that up when we're regularly in the mid-90s to 3 times a week, but if you can go 2 to 3 days at least between irrigations, that will keep the lawn perfectly green and minimize risk from insect pests and diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're put on severe restrictions and say you have once a week, which I've seen happen, then you just water deeply. And Kentucky bluegrass and other cool season grasses can survive just fine dormant on just 1 inch of water a month during the growing season. So worst case scenario, and once a week, the lawn would still stay partially green and wouldn't go completely dormant. You know, when Utah was more rural, and if you can remember a lot of the cities having ditches in front of the front lawns
sure,
and things,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, we watered just once a week and the lawns did fine.
Yeah. What about in this hot season, early hot season, drought conditions, maybe some water restrictions? And it's so frustrating to be in the mid-90s already in the first week of June.
But, it really is.
But what do you recommend or do you not recommend? Any treatments that you can put on the grass that helps during this time?
Well, I think aeration, especially a month ago, will help out mm-hmm. because the aeration helps loosen the soil up so water can penetrate in a little bit more easily. Now, there are products out there that contain surfactants that are advertised as opening up your soil or making it easier for the water to penetrate in. They do, but they're temporary and you keep having to reapply them. But for the most part, if you just have an average Wasatch Front or Utah soil, you don't need to use those. There's some situations that they can be beneficial, and it's more just making sure that you're watering deeply. The other thing that people can really do is watch their sprinkler clock. You don't just set all the zones up for 20 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever. You know, if you have a sprinkler zone on the east and north side of your home, you might be able to run that zone one fewer times a week and twice instead of 3 times. But the zone on the south side of the house, you may have to run for a longer period of time. And so if you can detail how you're watering per zone, you know, using Smart Clocks, a local company, Orbit makes one. There's others out there that you can get, Rocio and a few others. But a smart timer is something you can do. You know, there's just so many things, but we average about, the lawn needs about 25 inches of water during the growing season to stay green, which is actually quite a lot. But we average about 50 inches to keep it green because of inefficiencies in our sprinkling systems, people not caring to change the clock, leaks and things like that. And so if people would just manage their sprinkling systems well and not even go to restrictions, I think we could save just tons of water.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many great options out there now. You know, you've got systems that incorporate, moisture sensors that will connect with your phone, and you can really dial in to make sure that you're as efficient as possible, which, boy, we need that now more than any other time in the recent decade. So
we really do. I haven't seen them so concerned ever. And if we're going on restrictions in June, you know that the situation is dire.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's crazy. I mean, for a reservoir to actually run out of water, one of our major reservoirs that people water ski on, that's crazy to me. So, all right, we've got to grab a quick break. When we come back, let's start churning through some phone calls. We've got Sue's going to be up first when we come back from this break. She's got a question about her Quakeys. And we've also got Chris, Sarah, and Jamie. So everyone stay on the line. We're going to get to you. That number is 801-575-8255. That's 801-KSL-TALK. And we'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to some calls. You're in the KSL Greenhouse. Let's start, Ton, with Sue in Pleasant Grove. Sue, tell us about your Quakeys.
Oh, yeah. I just got disconnected, so.
Oh, well, now we got you back.
Yes, so. Oh, are you ready for my question?
Yeah, go for it.
Yes, okay. So about a month and a half ago, we had a quake in aspen tree. It was getting diseased. We had it cut down, drilled holes all in the stump, and poured root killer in it, but now we've got 1,000 trees popping up all over in our lawn. Is there anything that we can, I try spraying Roundup on them. Is there anything we can do to put in the stump or spray on them that will kill them?
At this point, what you're going to have to do is probably just go cut each individual sucker and get a paintbrush, like a cheap Crayola paintbrush that you get from the dollar store for like $5 and put some gloves on and use Roundup or something similar, concentrate, and just dab, clip and dab. So you leave an inch or so or 2 inches. So you clip about in the middle of the sucker, depending on how tall they are, and just dab some concentrate. And as you keep doing that, it will start to go after that root system.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that'd be a huge step.
That sounds like a lot of work to me, Sue, but I think it's going to work for you.
They get, okay. Well, we'll try it because they get cut off every time we mow and they're a mess. Yeah. So.
Well, and Ton, I guess you'd have to be real careful, especially if you're doing this out in the grass, to contain that Roundup since you're not spilling it.
Yeah, you know, wipe the excess off so it's not dripping everywhere. And just, you know, you need to get enough on the tip that it penetrates in. But if you will get some scissors or some snips and just clip, and then within 10 or 15 seconds, just get where you've clipped and get a little bit of a drop on top of that and just keep going after them.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck
to you,
Sue.
Thank you
very much. Hey, thank you for calling. Let's grab Chris in Far West. Chris, what's on your mind? Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse.
Hey, thank you. Hey, just a quick question. I have like a 50-foot pine tree that the needles are about 6 to 7 inches long, and they're really going, they're green right now, but the ends of them, about the last 3 inches, are all brown, and a lot of my lower branches are starting to die. Does that mean the tree is dying, or what can I do to get the tree to snap out of it?
Well, I need to ask some questions. So how often is the tree irrigated?
Probably it's in the middle of the yard. So when I do the sprinklers, you know, right now, of course, you know, 2 or 3 times a week.
Okay. So the conditions you're describing could be a few different things. One of them is called pine needle scale, where they will start in an area and start working their way around the tree. But what you see are yellowing and browning needles, and they'll work their way up or work their way sideways. And so one thing I would recommend doing is looking up USU and pine needle scale so you know what to look for. And if it is that one, then you would want to use a systemic, something like Xylem, or Ortho makes one called, I believe, season-long insect control for trees and shrubs. But the active ingredient should be dinotefuran. So that's spelled dinotefuran.
Okay.
So you may have to find, if you can't find the Ortho product containing that in a local hardware store or Lowe's or Home Depot, you may have to turn to Xylem, which is available from places like Great Basin Turf and IFA. But that's if you find pine needle scale. Now, the other thing you could be seeing is drought stress, because if you have just 3 inches of the needle going brown, then that really does sound like environmental stress, like drought. And so last fall, did the tree get watered through October into early November?
Yes.
Okay, so if the soil
not that much, but but
it would need to have been deep soaked every couple of weeks, every 2 or 3 weeks during that period of time, because we have been seeing a lot of damage from dry soils and other things that were more environmental stress. But that's the other thing you need to check. And so if you're watering the tree and you know the soil is moist underneath, if the new growth came out healthy, then it was probably environmental, but you really do need to check for that pine needle scale.
Okay.
And you can see, I've had those before, Chris. You can see them right on there. As soon as you pull down a couple of those pine needles, you look at them, and They look like a scale on there, so you'll see exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, depending
about,
on the species, it'll just be little white or black flecks that just they get their name from that, and they can be devastating to a tree and eventually over a period of 3 or 4 years kill them. But we see upswings in the pine needle scales every time we go into drought conditions.
Okay. Yeah, because like you said, like on half of the tree is like is doing really well, but like on the south side of the tree, it seems like they're more brown than green.
Yeah, so I really look for that pine needle scale.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will do that.
If it's there, you'll see it, I promise, because even a dummy like me, Chris, is able to identify that one. So
I'm impressed.
Well, you know, hey, I get around a little bit. Chris, thanks so much for your call. Best of luck to you. That frees up
hey,
a line, 801-575-8255. That's KSL Talk, 801-KSL Talk, 801-575-8255. Let's now jump over to Jamie in West Jordan. Jamie, welcome, and what's on your mind?
Yes, I have two. Well, I had two rows of Sharon. My last one didn't leaf out about a third of it, and this week has not come back. Now the second one is about a quarter not leafing out. And tearing down the rows of Sharon is pretty much rotten on the inside, and there's grubs.
Ooh.
I want to prevent the other one, not to lose it either.
Okay.
But my husband did plant vinca around it, and I was always pulling it out, and there's always ear rigs and little roly-polies all over it, and so I don't know if that was part of
the
it.
The roly-polies and earwigs would do nothing to the Rose of Sharon as far as harming its health, so they're just yeah. there because the vinca provides a cool area that's shaded and has more moisture for them to hide out. So just okay. keep that in mind. So on the Rose of Sharon, how often are they being watered?
Well, they're right in the lawn. So they're watered like twice a week with the lawn, and that's it.
Okay. That might be sufficient. It might not be, just because it's really hard to say, you know, on the radio, that's enough or not. But, you know, one thing I would do is dig around the plants a little bit and see how dry the soil is, you know, 5 or 6 inches down, because there's a possibility that especially the one that declined was getting too much water. The Rose of Sharon don't like to be overwatered. And if you found borers in there, it could be that it was already dying and the plant couldn't fight it off. It could be that it was in there because it was dead and just getting, you know, a meal. But also, if it was stressed, you may have found like a flat-headed borer in there that only gets into plants that are already stressed. And so you really need to check out the water situation, because those Rose of Sharon like to have moisture, but they like to dry out between irrigations.
And that makes sense. Well, see, when I moved in, they were very well established. And so they had the very large trunks at the bottom. And so it was like, no, I could not, you know, prune it to where I wanted it as a tree. And, you know, the blossoms fall a lot and they fall down in the crotch of the tree, the bush and everything like that. And I'm wondering if that contributes to it also.
No, unless for some reason you had a lot of litter from the flowers and leaves that sat and rotted because it was getting too much water and it almost formed its own compost area in that branch crotch, that would rot the bark. But otherwise, no, it could be provide a place for things to hide, and you really shouldn't have that in those if you can avoid it. But if it was dry, probably not.
Okay, because I have this second one that's about a quarter of it is struggling to leaf out, and so just check the water situation around it.
Check that, and then you know, sometimes after 25 or 30 years, the Rose of Sharon, just they've hit their point that they've been happy, but they're getting old. And they start to decline. And so if they're very old, it just could be that they've lived their usefulness and they're slowly declining, kind of like we do when we reach our late 70s and 80s.
All right.
That could be it.
Thank you so much.
Septuagenarians.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sarah, for the call. We've got to grab a news break. We'll be right back with more of your calls.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.